RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Batting six, second baseman number two, Nico Hoerner.
Hello, I got places to be.
Nico Hoerner, that's so fun.
We drove to the park together. We were listening to Nico. Oh, man.
Nico Hoerner, how are you, man? Keep rocking it, mate.
Take good hair. He's jacked, too. Yeah, I'm jealous.
Starting second baseman for your Chicago Cubs.
He's got it to head to the running yard. Total here. First down, sideline. McCaffrey's longest run of the year. All the way down to the 23-yard line.
Watch this move inside the hole to get back outside. A little juke there, and he's on his way. McCaffrey, goodness gracious, if he gets running the football, no telling what this offense could be.
Nico Hoerner on 670 to score.
How fun is that?
Damn Stanford people. Stanford guys, Christian McCaffrey.
They're all so athletic.
They're handsome.
And smart.
Yeah. They're likable. Yeah. That makes me not like him. You know what I mean?
We're talking about McCaffrey here, right? Not Nico.
Go ahead, Lawrence. Bring Nico.
Wow, that is rough. Nico Hoerner plays second base for your Chicago Cubs. He also was at the Bears 49ers game, and now apparently looks like he is getting ready to face a firing squad on Twitch and on YouTube with the background that he chose today. He joins us now the Circa Resort Casino Hotline, CircaLasVegas.com. Look at this postseason flow that he's got going on. What's up, Nico?
The offseason hair is in full effect. It's bulbous.
Yeah, you got me mid workout. You actually got a nice look at. I know we like to see where I'm at all times. Right now, I am. This is where I am, and then this is where I do my sprints, my med ball stuff during the season. It's kind of, not the sexiest, but it's under the highway and it has a great wall. So, yeah.
All right, good, and that makes sense. And we are lucky to have you as a correspondent. What made you decide that you wanted to go to the game?
Two great teams. I'm a nice bandwagon Bears fan, so I'm enjoying a really fun season, and I do enjoy watching Christian McCaffrey, but I was definitely rooting for the Bears last night.
Oh, see, you answered the key question. We've been thinking about it. Bay Area native, but Chicagoan now for what, 7 years?
I mean, I grew up a Raiders fan, so you're not supposed to like the 49ers.
There you go.
Yeah, it was awesome. It was so fun. Chaos everywhere, as you guys know, and I'm sure I've covered all day long. But that was a treat.
What you know what I love about being at football games, Nico, as opposed to being at baseball games, it's like when you feel the momentum switch, you feel the energy. It undeniably has an effect on the players in the game in a football game. Like in baseball, we think it does, and maybe every once in a while it does, but in football, that stuff is undeniable, isn't it? You can feel the game swing from the stands, couldn't you, last night?
Yeah, absolutely. And even though the Bears were playing so well all game, keeping up, it really felt like the Niners game to have Ellis just in there. And maybe that's just a part of being in someone's home stadium. But then in the fourth quarter, when they got them to punt on the 4th-and-7, I was like, oh, this is real. it was so much fun. Good banter all day long. Bears fans should know they had a proud showing in Santa Clara last night. A lot of good talk.
Tell us more about that. Were you representing Bears colors? What was the banter that was going on as well?
No, I was in all black. I actually came straight from the airport. But I feel like the most banter happens in the men's bathroom line and then in the bathroom. That's usually what brings out the best or the worst in people. It's kind of the tipping point, you know, a lot of forced interaction and close quarters. And it was all in good spirits, though.
So Nico,
I was more of a fly on the wall. Yeah,
I wanted to talk to you about that because as a baseball player, there is the opportunity to blend in. Like Nico's not small; like he's 6 feet, and he's handsome, but he also kind of looks like a guy that you might see walking around in Santa Clara. Whereas, like if I don't know, like pick a basketball player. If Vooch went to a Bears game, you know it was Vooch. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Or if Montez Sweat walked into the Cubs game, you go, who's that giant man who looks like Montez Sweat, right? So with you being someone that plays professionally, what's it like for you to sit in the anonymity of you don't have your uniform or your cap on and you're just chilling?
It's great. I love being around just like the total emotional, irrational responses of fans and like that are around the swing of the game and just throwing nonsense out there to try and help the team. And it's really fun and it feels good. And it's fun to walk out of the stadium in the crowd and people talking about the game and being a part of that buzz. And I would love to sit and watch a couple of Cubs games every year, you know, it'd be great. So yeah.
That's awesome. Cause this is when you're supposed to throw out random stuff, you know, and just like, like your worst thoughts, whatever your worst thoughts are, just let them fly.
Yep. You've worked all week and it's a safe space. Just go.
Did you have any interaction with Christian McCaffrey at all at Stanford?
No, I don't know him personally. There was some friends of mine who were close with him, but always admired him from afar and was so lucky to watch him play college football for a couple of years, and they were good. They won a Rose Bowl when we were there, and he's a stud and a really well likable guy.
So did you think the Bears were going to win that game when they got the ball with 2 minutes and 15 seconds left? Were you thinking Bears win?
Yeah, I would have bet they would win. Not that like necessarily makes sense, but what it just felt like was they were going to make it happen, especially with just like the big plays that they'd been able to pull off all game. And man, the hook and ladder was just so fun and bold, and you can analyze it a million directions, but it was the kind of thing that, like, couldn't believe it was happening in full speed. I thought it was going in for sure.
Well, what did you think about it? You loved the boldness of doing it? Yeah, because Caleb said after the game that his coach plays to win, and that's the way I played too. Like, they totally went for it, and it cost them some seconds, but I kind of loved it too.
Oh, 100%. They had their running back with the ball full speed, 4 yards from the end zone. Like, it's a pretty good look. And, you know, maybe he could have spiked the play after when they weren't lined up, or they could have ran out of bounds, or a million things within it. But I feel like they gave themselves a great chance to win. And they're on the road. You go for the wins. It's awesome.
When we talk to you during baseball season, by the way, if you're just joining us, we're talking with Nico Horner,
our new Bears correspondent. Congratulations,
correct.
Nico. You've correct. Done a great job so far.
He was at Bears 49ers last night. But during the season, you talk about throwing angles of your own or Dansby's or PCA's like all the time. I wonder, as a baseball player, what you think of the type of angles that you see Caleb Williams employ to make throws.
It's unbelievable. The flat-footed and cross-body stuff that he does is crazy. It really looks like a shortstop. And obviously I see things through that lens, just kind of what I do and get to be around a lot. But it's unbelievable. The flat-footed throw, like 40 yards, 50 yards, early in the game was incredible. It just looks so easy. And he's amazing to watch.
Is there anything more difficult in sports than to be the quarterback of an NFL team?
Yeah, and it's the once a week nature is so hard. I mean, because whatever happens is analyzed nonstop for 6 days. You don't get to go do it again the next day or day after like us in the NBA. And you so much carry the weight of an entire group of people. And I feel like it's an interesting point in the NFL as far as analyzing quarterbacks, right? It's so much got fluctuation right now, game to game and year to year. And it's so cool to see how much he's improved in a year.
Have you talked with PCA at all? Because he's been on the Bears sidelines the last couple of weeks, even in that on that game where it was crazy snow and super cold.
Yeah, Pete's got a couple wins and I get a loss, so I guess stay out of the way. But I'm carry the good vibes. I could maybe should have been on the gram a little more and made my presence known. I don't know, but yeah, Pete's great. I've been talking to him. He's been getting to be in Chicago in the off season, which I'm so happy for him. It's a great thing to get to do. Be totally away from the in season headspace and appreciate everything the city has to offer. So yeah. I'm going to see him in Arizona next week.
You'll find this interesting and probably fun and funny because I know we did. So I host the Patrick Manley Awards. That's the best long snapper in college football. Our buddy Patrick Manley has been doing the award for, 7 years now? And they did a tour of Wrigley with the three finalists of the awards. The guy who ended up winning is the long snapper for the University of Georgia. His name is Bo Gardner. They're walking through... And they're walking through Wrigley, and they got a great tour. And they go, there's a guy there, and he's just there, like, hitting off a tee. And Bo is like, hey, are you a player? And he's like, yes, I'm Pete. Pete was here on, like, the coldest week that we've had, like, inside getting his work in. So you're right. Like, the idea of spending an offseason in Chicago, I love it that now, where 12 years ago, 15 years ago, that would have never been an afterthought for a Cubs player. The fact that you guys can do that now and Pete's embraced it is really cool.
It is. And I think, like, for Cubs fans, it makes you appreciate those summer days and taking the field at Wrigley with it all filled. And when you're there in the winter and it's cold and you know, baseball is the furthest thing on your mind. I think it's kind of cool to go through the full seasons of Chicago like everyone does.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's amazing. Nico Horner's with us here on Spiegel and Holmes. The Cubs convention is upcoming. The Bears will have a home playoff game the weekend of January 9th. The weekend of January 16th will be the Cubs convention. If they win their first home playoff game, they will likely have a second home playoff game the weekend of Cubs convention. What would this town be like if those two things converged? That would be fun.
Yeah, I would absolutely love to be there for that. I know they got the 10-year reunion and stuff, but I don't think people's minds going to be too much on Cubs convention that weekend. And that's how it should be. It's football season. It's awesome.
Oh, God.
That would be so fun to go. Oh, my God.
I'm imagining the 10-year reunion of the 2016 Cubs. And then all you guys of the 2026 Cubs.
And then the Cubs having the Bears having an opportunity to go to the NFC title game.
Right. And like how many Cubs players can you fit in a suite over?
I think we would find out. I think we would find out.
Couple suites and nice party. That'd be amazing.
Oh my God. So you will be at the Cubs convention, right?
Yes. Yep.
That's good.
It is expected of us.
All right. Well, good. Just so you know, Nico, we've declared if for some reason they were to trade you, we're taking pitchforks and torches to the Cubs offices and just kind of we're going to storm the castle. Lawrence owns a pitchfork.
I do.
This is what I didn't
That's
know.
Incredible. You have to as a Chicago sports fan, right? It's just a part of it.
I mean, I have one for my yard, but yes.
You're right. No, pitchforks and torches is a common part of our sports fandom.
Thank you for having my back. That means a lot.
Yeah, dude, we got you. In fact, when they traded the other guy named Nico, the pitcher named Nico Zeglin, we got scared. Tanny got us good. He texted us and said they traded Nico and then sent us that. But like in the interim, we got very, very scared.
Speaking of which, Nico Rinaldi's has been, we do Victory Chicken. When the
I
Bears
know all about it now, yeah.
Yeah. And so Rinaldi's has hooked us up with the really good chicken strips that they have, and they're putting together flyers for stuff and coming up with images of a Victory Chicken holding a football. They've really gone all out.
Love that. Yeah, they I know they're well known for their pizzas and everything, but man, those chicken tenders are something serious. That's a party hit for sure. So shouts out Rinaldi's. They go all out. It's great.
Nico, your pizza has been selling very well. And the donation from these past 3 months was just made $1,236. has gone every 3 months. They do the donation, and the BIG Baseball Academy, because it's bigger than baseball, receives that money directly because of your work with Rinaldi's and that delicious pizza. So congrats on that.
Yeah, it's cool. They do a great job at BIG. It's obviously hard for kids in cities to find good baseball facilities. So to have a space and a home to host camps and practices and everything else in the winter, and then be able to supply resources and everything to play summer ball, it's a huge deal. From ages from like six and up, kids getting a chance to play ball, it's great.
All right. So one real question. Do you read the trade rumor stuff that we see that freaks us out?
I see most stuff. I mean, things are inevitably sent to me, especially when it's like connected to the Giants. Like, people here obviously get excited about things like that. And it's hard to explain to people that things can both be like, yes, that's not false reporting, but that also doesn't really mean anything. It's like, it's hard to navigate that space, I think. But yeah, I see stuff.
Yeah, I mean, we don't want that to happen, Nico.
Yeah. No matter the haul, that's really nice.
No, it wouldn't matter.
There's some good players out there. There's some good players out there.
No, there's no prospect haul that's going to make us feel good about that.
Nope.
Nope, it would not
don't
be
like
good.
Don't like it. Don't want it. Don't need it.
Don't want it. All right, back to the game last night. Bears need a new stadium. Should they model their stadium after that Niners stadium, that thing in Santa Clara?
I haven't been to many NFL stadiums. I did see the Viking stadium, and that was unbelievable. Thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
So I feel like they probably could have been a little more creative with that Santa Clara stadium. My main beef is just that it's not in San Francisco or anywhere close to it. So that's the big thing. And I feel like that matters.
People have no idea how far Santa Clara is from San Francisco. And and on a game day, how much longer it is to get there. It's difficult.
It took me an hour and a half to get home, for sure.
Wow. So you're saying if the Bears make the Super Bowl in Santa Clara – and we need a place to stay.
That's not what he's saying.
Yeah, your house would not be a good choice.
No, it's a great choice. Julia's got a pullout in her office. We got so much room. I've been dominating the Traeger smoker this offseason.
Oh,
food.
Oh, hell
It'll
yeah.
It'll be a little party. Yep.
Oh,
doing prime rib for New Year's Eve. So that's the next thing.
All right. So
All right, we're coming.
Yeah. So was that it? If the Bears get to the Super Bowl, can we hang? Can we say
we can hang? I'm just telling you, it's not that close. That's the thing. It's the issue.
You got a helicopter
to the
game.
That's the only issue in this picture.
that's it.
The only thing that's keeping it from happening.
Not the fiance cohabitation.
Yeah.
Like
a guy just, wanted to be alone with his fiance/wife. Like, it's a whole thing.
His sports radio friends are coming over, babe.
Yeah. That actually sounds awful.
It sounds
awful. The more that
horrendous.
Say it, the worse it sounds. Nico, we appreciate you, and thank you so much for joining us and being our Bears correspondent. We couldn't think of a better person to have break down the game with us.
It's a treat. It's a treat. Right in the middle of the offseason, get us excited for the Bears and baseball to come. Things are good.
Yeah, man. Like, seriously, that weekend of the Cub convention with the vibes of the convention and a Bears playoff game, let's go, right?
Yeah, that's all time.
Yeah, that would be an all-timer. Thanks, dude. You're the best. We appreciate you.
All right. Miss you guys. See ya.
Same. That is Nico Horner. He's great.
He really is.
Great.
I mean, the hair is flowing. The workout facility is unimpressive. But his commitment is impressive.
Just a reminder that just because something is seemingly close, the stadium is seemingly close.
I know, right?
Doesn't like, mean
it's just
that...
too far from San Francisco. Yeah,
guys, if I can stand Nico Horner's couch, I will drive to California. I don't even care about the Super Bowl. I just want to be in Nico's couch.
Yeah.
But,
road
but,
trip.
But the way that Lawrence was talking about it, you started thinking about the Hammond, Indiana Bears.
Oh, 100%.
Oh yeah.
And I mean, I'm going to do a whole pod about it, but it's likely. I'm not likely. It is more likely than people would think. Like, that could happen.
I hate that.
I know. I don't hate it. I mean, I get why they would want to do it, because then you can do what you want to do.
Well, sure. And I mean, it depends. Like, the Chiefs are going to Kansas.
They are. But it's
that's goofy, too.
It's the same thing. They're leaving Missouri because another state said, you know what, we'll do the thing that nobody is doing anymore.
By the way.
And if Indiana is going to do that, then I think the Bears will probably go.
When you get into the details of that deal that Kansas gave the Chiefs.
Oh, it's going to be bad news for the state of Kansas,
it's
right?
Terrible.
Of course. I mean, this is... public opinion has shifted on this stuff with good reason, you know?
Yeah. I mean, they're getting the gate on other games. Like it is egregious, but the people of Kansas agreed to it by their leadership. So, yeah.
Yeah, no, look, we've got three Rock'em Sock'em days of sports radio together this week. Let's touch on the stadium, whether it's tomorrow or Wednesday, because the notorious
B.I.G.
historical dysfunction of this organization when it comes to stadium dealings, this is just another chapter. It is just another chapter. And it should not surprise us. And I'd like to thank Kevin Warren for re-exposing us to the dysfunction of the organization at this incredibly delightful time otherwise.
Also, people are like, Lawrence, why do you have a pitchfork? I have a yard and a flower bed. Like, sometimes you have to till the land.
It's my favorite moment of that interview is the very wise Nico Horner saying, yeah, you need that as a Chicago sports fan. Because of all those times we have to take off for offices with pitchforks and torches.
The torches are harder to come by.
Well, no, you can get yourself a good business torch over at in the Torch District.
It's not a great look these days. The pitchfork you can still kind of get away with. The torch, someone's going to ask you some questions. It
depends what you're wearing.
And what you're chanting. Yeah.
This is true.
Both of those things.
But the business pitchforks. The Chicagoland sports fan pitchforks. Why are we not selling those on the Scores website?
Yeah. Plus, I host a festival each year.
You do?
The pitchfork.
Oh, yeah, you do?
That's why I have it.
Well, and you have that painting of you and your lady friend.
Yeah.
Yeah, where you're wearing the overalls.
I've got this pitchfork
here.
Oh,
that's you?
Yeah, that's Lawrence. That's Lawrence.
That's me.
He loaned it to the Art Institute.
I came back and been reincarnated into this to make that happen.
Oh, boy.
All right, we need to take a break. Shout out to Nico. He is a treat.
Just the man.
Just our absolute favorite and a real good example of what can happen if you do this right. If you do this right. Like, it's a beautiful thing when you get an athlete who gets it and wants to have a little bit of fun and hosts that are agreeable to such a thing. I appreciate you for bringing me along in the relationship with Nico.
Oh, man. He enjoys us both. So it's a pleasure.
He's a good man. Speaks, I think Dennis Allen has a type.
Wait a minute. I was told that Bears assistant coaches were
staying off
the internet.
No, not
in their offices.
Not like that.
It is a defensive coordinator, after all.
Not like that.
Okay.
I think that Dennis Allen has a type when it comes to quarterbacks that give him a rough time. I want to throw some examples at you and see if there is some connective tissue here.
Okay, let's do that.
That's next here on The Score.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines.
You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Spiegel and Holmes.
It's LeVar Ball.
What's good? Triple B, big baller staff. You guys go do your thing. I love your staff.
Afternoons on the Score.
Here we go. Andy Robinson.
And it goes quick with the play clock running down. He did. It's a boot. Purdy pulling back, stepping forward, throwing on the run. Touchdown. What a play, Purdy. His check on the business end. You deserve to dance.
I saw juice that I was hoping he would throw it to him right away. Get like a 3-yard gain and a big hit. It wasn't the coverage I really wanted to play for. And then he didn't do it. So then I was just hoping he was going to throw it away and we could have a couple more downs. And then I just started watching him probably like every other fan does. And he made me extremely nervous. And then he made me extremely happy.
It's Kyle Shanahan talking about the way the game ended for his 49ers, who now have an opportunity. If they beat the Seahawks on Saturday night, they will be the one seed in the NFC, and they will not have to leave home base.
180 yards from scrimmage for Christian McCaffrey, 303 yards passing for Brock Purdy. That Niners offense was unstoppable in the first half. 330 yards in the first half. That's the most they've had in the first half since 1998. And that offense has been rolling. Last night, 68 offensive plays they ran, got 32 first downs, had 496 yards overall.
So I have a working theory, okay? Okay. And I wanted to know if you think I should continue with my research.
Okay.
Okay. If you're a quarterback that is a little bit more landlocked, Dennis Allen is going to get you. And you don't need any other example than the fact that anytime his name comes up, Tom Brady, the most landlocked quarterback in history, also the most successful quarterback in history, is like, that guy gave me fits.
Dennis Allen has tremendous numbers historically against Tom Brady as both a head coach and a defensive coordinator.
So we know that Tom is elite when it comes to coverages and getting rid of the ball quickly, but we know that he is landlocked. He doesn't stress your defense with his legs, okay?
Mm-hmm.
When I look at the losses that the Bears have had this season, I do think that there is a pattern that is worth studying. And there's special dispensation for one of these guys. But look at the quarterbacks that they have lost to. They lost to 9. Remember him?
J.J. McCarthy.
They've lost to Snoop.
Tyler Huntley.
Mm-hmm. They lost to Malik, and there's special dispensation to that, and I'll get to that in a minute. And they lost to Purdy.
Well, they didn't lose to Malik. They came back and won against Malik.
But they struggled against Malik.
Malik moved the ball like crazy and passed it.
And that was a guy that they weren't ready for.
Yeah, see,
so I'm not going to blame him for that, even though they struggled against him.
That game, when Malik came in and Matt LaFleur pivoted right away to the Malik stuff with a lot of zone reads.
Which is crazy.
Uh-huh. The fact that he was able to do that and a lot of running quarterback stuff, DA did not adjust. But there it was again last night.
Uh-huh.
Like, Brock Purdy scored on straight QB keepers a couple of times.
QB keeper, there was a really good zone read where Montez, he comes down, and it was so easy at that point for Purdy to read it and then go into the end zone. If you've got a guy who's got a little bit of this, they can be dangerous to this version of Dennis Allen's defense. There's other stuff to consider. There's a bunch of guys that are hurt. I think this was one of those games where if you were saying, man, it would have been great to have Kyler Gordon, you would be right. I think most of the games that they've played without Kyler Gordon, C.J. Gardner-Johnson has done an adequate to exceptional job of being the nickel defender for the Bears. But last night felt like a night where it was like, ugh, you really could have used his speed. Because you have an ailing Jalen Johnson, for example.
Yeah.
But you look at all the quarterbacks that have given Dennis Allen trouble this year. for the most part, it's guys that have some zone read in their pocket.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, Purdy has a remarkable skill set when you really think about it, because he's quick enough to do the zone read stuff, and their run game is so good that he can do that. But he sat back there and picked apart a zone. It's like that's kind of that's a lot of the package of what you would want for a quarterback to beat Dennis Allen. Your theory is a good one.
Let's add Jackson Dart, too.
Oh, yeah. Jackson Dart and the Giants were well on their way to winning that game before he got knocked out with the concussion.
So if you've got a little bit of wiggle as a quarterback, if you don't have wiggle, he will come get you. But if you've got a little bit of wiggle and yeah. you can put him on defensive, pun intended, on the defensive, then you might have a chance against this version of Dennis Allen's defense.
I think that is sensible for sure. I think, you know, and I don't want to counter that. I just want to simplify it with this. I think the turnovers have masked a lot of deficiencies of this defense.
That they don't have a consistent pass rush?
That they give up a lot of yards. They've given up the fifth most yards per game in the NFL.
Well, that's kind of how you're supposed to fight back. Like you have to be a team that's going to have to take the ball away. If you're not, you're going to have to make something happen.
Okay, but it's not just the pass rush. They've given up the fifth most rushing yards per game in the NFL.
They have.
You can run the ball on them. As much as we like TJ Edwards, as good a year as Tremaine Edmonds has had, those linebackers, you know, the heart and soul of your run defense, yes, it's the defensive line, but it's the backers who have to come up and make the plays, and sometimes your safeties. Those guys have been eaten alive at times. The fifth most rushing yards per game is brutal, you know? You look at the teams down there, the Bengals, bad defense, losing season. Commanders, bad defense this year, losing season. Giants. Oh. The Giants, the Bills have the fourth worst rushing defense. They've got Josh Allen to compensate. And then it's the Bears, then the Jets, the Falcons, the Cardinals, the Dolphins, the Saints, the Vikings. You have to get all the way to like 13 to find the Eagles. That's the next running defense that is of a playoff team. So I think the turnovers have masked it. And like Ben said last night, the situational defense. Red zone, man. I mean, the Packers were 0-for-5 in scoring touchdowns in the red zone. Last night, the Niners were 5-for-5 in scoring touchdowns
Arby's.
In the red zone.
They were Arby's, and they were 7-for-10 on third down, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
Arby's, 5-for-5. You never heard that reference?
No, I have not.
They used to have, you get 5 sandwiches for $5.
You would?
Yeah. At Arby's, it was called the 5-for-5.
I don't remember that at all.
Sean, do you know what I'm talking about?
I do know what you're talking about.
I thought that was a midday segment.
No, that is
five on
that's
it.
Five on it. And then it's the 6 at 6.
No,
right?
It's the pick six.
Oh, a 6 at 6 is on channel 9.
They
sorry.
Used, they used
the
to
pick
do
six
the,
is
the
on
five
our
at
station.
Five. They used to do the 5 at 5. And now
we
it's the
do
pick
that.
Six.
Our show is at it has a 5 o'clock hour.
But
I got 5 on it.
That's
thank
right.
You. So you feel me? I think overall the defense has been has survived because of the turnovers and the situational stuff.
That's what you have to do. If you're going to be a defense that gives up a lot of rushing yards, if you're going to be a defense that doesn't consistently get pressure with four people, you got to take some risk. You got to make some plays.
Hmm.
And that's what this Bears defense has done. And I need to go back and watch how many zone reads like Philly ran, because I don't feel like it was a lot with Jalen.
It's a good question.
I feel like they were doing a little bit more of straight drop back stuff with him, but I like to go back and look before I add in. And people are like, well, what about Jared Goff? They're outliers in any study, sir.
Well, but Jared Goff was early when they put up 50 points or whatever before they had much figured out.
Yeah. But Dennis Allen's, I would say it's mitigated by Dennis Allen's continued success against Tom Brady.
Yeah. But I mean, also Flacco put up a lot of points and yards. So yeah, no. So but your theory that he struggles with it, like, If you have a quarterback who can do that stuff and also throw...
Can throw consistently enough.
Yeah, Malik Willis has played pretty well. He played pretty well. He was not the problem on Saturday night against the Ravens.
I'm going to say this, and I know that it'll be clipped and aggregated.
Okay.
All right.
Tyler, get ready to clip this and aggregate it, all right? Also, grab 10 seconds of Kurt Warner picking Brock Purdy just to piss him off. Thank you, Tyler.
I think Jordan Love is an amazing quarterback, and I think that he could potentially be one of the best in the NFL. I think Malik might be a better fit to match with LaFleur.
Whoa.
Because of some of the stuff that they can do.
Whoa.
But because Jordan Love is so damn talented, you have to keep going down that road. Like, you can't not say, like, hey, we've got a guy that... I'm just saying that Malik is a really good fit. He does a lot of the stuff that Brock Purdy does. And you look at those guys, and you look at those two coaches, and they're very, very close. And they think similarly when it comes to building offenses. I'm not saying give up on Jordan Love. I'm just saying that I understand people looking at the Packers' offense and being like, wow, he's kind of making something out of nothing. That extra element, which Jordan Love kind of has in his bag and doesn't use as
much. No, he doesn't. The thing is, like, if you play like Malik, like, you are an injury waiting to happen.
This is what happened in Washington.
Yeah.
This is the concern on Jalen Hurts.
So you need a backup that plays like him. It's why Tyler Huntley has been the backup to Lamar so many times through the years.
That was fun.
That game on Saturday night?
Those two dudes,
yeah,
watching two backup dudes go out there and play really well and go out there and make plays for their team.
It
was fun to watch.
I don't agree that Malik is a better fit.
I got you.
What I think is that...
It's not a hill I'll die on.
No, I understand. But what I think is that LaFleur is just really good at maximizing whatever skill set he has in that position.
Maybe that's the
you know what I mean?
The conclusion is he's just a really good coach.
He's flexible and facile and moves quickly. Like, he's up there among the best. Like, I think we saw the best last night in Kyle Shanahan. And McVay worked for him. Remember, like, McVay worked for Shanahan. And
isn't that the 2012 Washington staff?
Yeah, where everybody was, where LaFleur was as well, and Mike McDaniel was as well. And then Shanahan was in Cleveland for a year. Then he was in Atlanta, made a Super Bowl. He was the offensive coordinator in Atlanta when they blew the 28-3 lead. And then the next year got hired in San Francisco. But McVay got hired 2 weeks earlier. Their rivalry is insane. It is crazy. Having worked together, and then McVay hired as the youngest NFL head coach ever 2 weeks before Shanahan gets hired up the road in San Francisco. And now they may face each other in the playoffs. They're two of the top three or four teams in the NFC. It's bananas what they have. So, but yeah, I think McVay and Shanahan and Ben Johnson and LaFleur, and yeah, still Andy Reid. Those would be my top five right now.
All right. That's fair enough.
Mm-hmm.
Sean says he has something for us in the last segment.
I know he does, and one of them is Collinsworth not knowing how to explain his own stat.
Hey, man, it happens.
I guess.
Back after this to the score.
I mean, that's a really cool stat. Thanks for sharing that.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, Sagmaster, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk.
every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Good vibes, babe.
Afternoons on the Score.
Brock Purdy was drafted when they were cleaning up the joint, but here he goes. He's cleaning up the Bears so far tonight. I mean, if this were Patrick Mahomes, we'd be screaming, oh, Patrick Mahomes. I know I would be screaming. But that's the way it works, because he has made those kinds of plays all night long and just been carrying the 49ers. And I don't know what all this is.
It's the Dougie.
That's the Dougie?
Yeah, the dance coming in, the Dougie, yeah, the whole deal. Yeah. I got to say, though, honestly, what I love about you is you still have your speed.
What?
Because you beat the internet to beat you up.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I mentioned Mahomes.
Yeah. Yeah. I like memes.
So you just jump right there and go to it.
Yeah, I do. I see a lot of that.
Turn it over a new leaf for 2026.
Don't bet on it.
What a game.
I like the self-awareness there from Chris Collinsworth. That's pretty funny. By the way, you're listening to a Plumbers 911 Football Monday presented by Busey Bank in Great Clips. Tonight, the Bulls take on the Timberwolves at the UC. Pre-game coverage begins at 6:45. Tip-off is at 7 on the Score in the Fitzgerald Equipment Bulls. Radio network powered by Heli Forklifts.
All right, so Collinsworth often becomes a meme because of his love for Mahomes, theoretically.
Yes.
As compared to other quarterbacks. So then he brings that up, and Tirico says, you beat the internet to beat you up. It's very funny. I like memes. One video of Collinsworth saying that has 1.4 million views. So
that's great.
So that in itself has become a meme as the world revolves into itself.
Jeez.
So unbelievable.
That's those kids and their maymays.
Oh, yeah, right. They pronounce maymays. Thank you, Sean. Appreciate that. This was my other favorite Collinsworth from last night. He's talking about Luther Burden and talking about a specific stat, and then Mike Tirico calls his bluff.
It has been a lot of Luther Burden in this game. And you're talking about, I'm going to give you a stat that doesn't mean anything to anybody, but it does me. 3.1 yards per route run. Let me give you the top four. Puka Nacua, Jackson Smith and Jigba, Devontae Smith, and Luther Burden. That give you some idea how good he's been this year?
What does the stat mean?
How many?
Sorry.
It's 3.1 yards per route run.
Okay.
Not per catch, per route run.
Got it.
So efficiency
it.
Of running those routes.
Got
so
it.
When you get him on the field, he makes things happen.
I know you can tell me.
Did he not?
I don't think he was expecting. I think he was probably expecting Mike to just, because Mike probably knows what it.
Collinsworth knows what it is too.
Of course he does.
He just wasn't prepared to define it.
My interpretation, because I know that I do this.
Yeah.
There are times when I know exactly what something is, but maybe the audience doesn't know, and so you ask your expert to explain it to the audience. And I think that Chris was like, oh, I thought we were going to the next play.
Right.
You know, like, I was getting ready for that. I didn't think I was going to have to explain this thing that I've been talking about.
Well, look, yards per route run just means essentially yards with...
Now you sound like him.
No, but it's yards that you have, right? And then like how many times you're actually going out there. So it's like your snap count, like how many times you're actually going out there. So how many yards are you getting per the amount of times that you're actually out there running a route on a passing play?
It's a newer type thing.
No, I think it makes all the sense in the world.
Free technique. It's something. No, it's a newer type of situation.
I don't think it actually needs much explanation. But yards per route run. I'll go next. I'll go to the next level. I saw this today. Rookie wide receivers with a yards per route run over 2.50, okay?
Okay.
Luther Burden, Puka Nacua, Odell Beckham Jr., A.J. Brown, Justin Jefferson.
That's really good.
Jamar Chase, Brian Thomas Jr., and Ladd McConkey last year. So those are guys who were explosive no matter how much they were being used as rookies. Luther Burden is explosive, man. That
he's a fun player to watch.
When he gets a chance, he gets yards.
This is a lot of fun.
Yards per route run.
Nice job today, Sean.
Way to go, Sean. Full space command.
It really felt we felt much better once Tyler got here, though.
Yeah, we did. For sure, because we were in 11 personnel.
Yeah, we got to go on 11 personnel.
Before, I felt better when he was here too, guys. It's great.
Right? He has that effect.
We were in 10 personnel. And that's not fun.
No, that's, whoa, is it four wideouts?
Weird. Yeah, it was bad.
It's the run and shoot.
Yeah, man. So luckily, we got ourselves a Tyler. Yeah. And then we were able to go on to 11 personnel.
Yeah, Jerry Glanville was coaching this thing. Mouse Davis. That's right. I'll go deep on run and shoot coaches. Deep as you want, Sean.
You can go Mike Leach, too.
Hey, we can go anywhere.
Put some air raid guys in there, too.
Exactly. Hal Mummy has entered the chat.
Shout out to Hal Mummy.
He's still coaching somewhere.
He's also coaching air raid. Like, you can get certified in air raid. I've been thinking about doing it, too, to tell you the truth.
Of course you have.
I love air raid offenses.
Hal Mummy is the offensive coordinator and quarterbacks coach for the Centenary. The Centenary College.
Is that different than the Citadel?
The Centenary College of Louisiana. He felt like coaching.
That's different than the Citadel.
Yeah.
Right?
And what other show is going to go three deep on the run and shoot?
Nobody.
The air raid. Nobody.
Anyone mention June Jones?
Not yet. Now we have.
Now. How about that?
Now how much would you pay?
Yeah. All that good stuff. Aloha. Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
All right.
Timmy Chang. He's running the same
stuff. Timmy Chang had a good season this year at Hawaii. Yeah.
You have to get certified in the air raid. I demand that.
I've watched a lot of videos stuff.
Does that mean you could then marry people once you get certified?
I believe. I'll ask.
You can get licensed to marry?
It has to be on a football field, though.
Well, of course.
That's the only place where you can marry people.
It's the only place people should get married.
I agree. And it should be in Boise. For Tyler Buterbaugh, for our guy Sean Sears, that's my partner, Matt Spiegel.
Hi.
I'm Lawrence Holmes saying thank you so much for the love and support. You show this show every single day. We will do our best to repay the favor tomorrow, starting at 2 o'clock. It'll be our pro day with both the mats. You'll enjoy it. We'll see you tomorrow, too, here on The Score. Bulls basketball coming up in about 45 minutes.
If you have...
Oh, my... God.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral. Voice of your business.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.